to you by Lighthouse Fellowship Antwerpen. For more information, please visit our website www.lighthouseantwerpen.be. We hope that this audio podcast will help you to enjoy life, to love God, and to make a difference.
I love it that the first Sunday this year is already the 7th of January. Why? Because we are already 1 year into the new year. That means most of New Year's resolution are already history. So we don't have to be busy with it. You know, all this, I'm becoming a whole new person, eating healthy, go running 3 times a week. Most of you stopped doing this like 2 or 3 days ago. So we can focus on the real stuff, right? It's awesome. I love it. So we want to go into a time of prayer. We want to start 21 days of prayer and feasting. September we did prayer and fasting, now we do prayer and feasting. That means we are not necessarily encourage you to fast, you can fast if you want to, but we want to focus 21 days on prayer. We want to give God the first and the best of this new year. We want to just start reaching out to Him and touching His Father's heart and see what He has in store for us. So to pray first, 21 days in the new year. The scripture that will guide us through this 3 weeks now is rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Nathan spoke about this last week. It was a very good word. He said we don't have to be thankful for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. That means you don't have to be thankful for being sick, but you can be thankful while you are sick, because in all your circumstances, even if they're negative, we have a reason to be thankful. There's a powerful word in it, but today we want to focus on something else. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we read this is God's will for you, that you just pray continually. It sounds a little bit too okay, now you're a Christian, now just spend a lot of time praying. That will keep you busy. Then you cannot do any kind of stupid things. You know, just pray a lot. This is what Christians do. But it's like a rocking chair. You know, we pray. But honestly, who of you believes that prayer really changes the world? Amen. I'm thankful for this bold Ukrainian lady here. Fantastic. It is much, much more than keeping us busy. God's plan was always from the beginning to change the world with Him. We as His children, as His hand and feet, we not just pray to keep us busy. We don't just pray because it's a Christian duty or this is what we do. We pray to change the world because we believe that God changes the world through prayer and through us. And this is very exciting. So that's the topic, that's the theme. My first take home today then also is prayer can change everything. And you might think, well, this is a no-brainer. We all know that, really? Because depending on how you were brought up, depending on how you see God, how you see the world, there are different philosophies around that and different theologies around that. And on Sunday morning, we never go deep theology, but I just want to pop this to you. There are these two streams, major streams in theology. And the one is called Calvinism, which is marked through something that is called predestination. Pretty much says Calvin was a great theologian, but in that part he was pretty extreme. So not everything. Calvin is a good guy, but he just was tended more in this direction. Pretty much it says, if God wants you to find Christ, it will happen anyway. If you are destined not to find Him, then whatever you do, you will just not find Him. This is a little bit, well, you pray or not doesn't change the will of God. It is what it is. You have a good life, you have a bad life, take it as it is. There's nothing you can do about it. You are destined to live this day. And if you put this into an extreme, you end up being passive and depressed because this is not what the Bible teaches. No, but this is like, okay, we can pray for this or that, but honestly, if God doesn't want to do it, then what can our prayer change? You know, you tend more in this direction. It's more fatalistic. It's more, there's nothing you can do about that. We need to live with it. The other half of it, the other end of the spectrum, is what they call Arminianism. Arminius was a theologian, and he was pretty strong in the free will of man. He said, if you choose for Christ today, your life will radically change, but you have a choice. It's not all predestined. You are in a crossroad and you decide which way to go. You are responsible for your actions and you can change the world with God if you choose so. And if you put this in an extreme, it sounds like, okay, we can do it without God. No, we need God. But this is this idea of free will, this teaching of a free will was like hidden in some other parts of history, and people were very passive because they did not think that their prayer and their life could make a difference. And however, we are all somewhere on the spectrum. You might tend a little bit more to Calvin. So you are more easy to say, well, this is just what it is. Nothing we can do about it. There are just 1.3% Christians in Belgium. This is just what we have to deal with. This is just how it is. Or you tend more on the other stream, and said, hey, 0.3%, this is not the will of God for Belgium. And we are here to change that. And we will start praying for change. And I want to be one of these history makers. Like William Booth says, the founder of the Salvation Army, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. Now you have more of this, it's our choice. We can do something. And we are all somewhere on this spectrum to some extent. But I wanna give you just, we will not solve this theological problem. I developed a theory over the years that pretty much combines it, but it's too difficult for Sunday morning. I will not bother you with it. But I want to just challenge you a little bit, wherever you are on this spectrum, to get this out of the Bible. Look, 2 Kings 20, 1-3. In those days, Hezekiah, he was a king of Israel back in the days, was sick and near death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, this says the Lord. So the word of God spoke, made a clear declaration. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Not really a prophecy that you want to hear. But this is, no, it's point, full stop. Set your house in order, you will not recover, you're gonna die, says the Lord. We don't want to hear that sense. But listen and see what happens then. Then Ezekiel turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And you know what happened next? This is awesome. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. Can you imagine that? God spoke something, he put something down, and then one of his children comes, but God, Father, can we not change that? I mean, God added 15 years to him. Why? Because he dared to ask. If he would have taken it in a Calvinistic mindset, well, okay, then this is how it is. I prepare because there's nothing you can do about if God said something, which there's a truth in it. But he understood that God is a father whose heart is touched. And it seems to us as if God would take back his word and changes his mind. Does God need to change his mind? I don't think so. If I read the Bible, then I see many times that God gives a decree, sometimes for punishment, and he's waiting if there would be somebody who would come up and would say, but God, is there no other way? Can we not find something else? Come on, God, please. God is waiting for these people. And sometimes they are not coming. Hezekiah lived because he dared to ask. God changed his plans, his mind, so to speak. And this wrecks pretty much the core of this extreme form of Calvinism. God doesn't have to, no. This whole life, God is perfect, he's almighty, and yes, he is a father. And he reacts to prayer. That's powerful. I want to show you another gemstone that really speaks to me every time I see it. I'm so happy it's in the Word of God. It's from Jesus himself. Luke 22:42. It was right before the crucifixion, right before the torture. Jesus knew what was to come, and he knew that it needed to come because he told his disciples many times, I'm going to the Father. They will kill me. You will all run away. He knew exactly that this was the only way to set us free. But then he says this. Perhaps a stone, he walked away, perhaps a stone throw, and knelt down and prayed this prayer. Father, if you are willing, please take away this cup of horror from me. There are different translations about this, but I love it that he dares to ask. I love it that Jesus said, Father, I know that I have to do this, but I mean, you're almighty. Is there no other way? Jesus dared to ask. He did not try to work himself out of the job. He said, well, no, I'm not sure about this anymore. No, he was sure, and he gave his life freely. And he says, not my will, but yours. But this is, Father, is there really no other way? I love that Jesus dares to ask. And I think he models a relationship with the Father that we all should have. So before you accept anything in your life, I want to encourage you to go to the Father. He might change it for you. Dare to ask. Dare to ask. The Word of God says, and yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. Well, that's straightforward. Many times stuff, you won't experience good things. Why? Because you do not ask. There's something coming into your life and stay there, and it will not go away because you do not ask. So let's ask the Father. It's not that much all in stone and all predestined. And you just, God destined you to suffer all your life and you just have to endure. This is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a God who responds to prayer. And whenever his children stand up, say, Father, I know I deserve this, or it's my own fault, or I know I understand the logic behind this, but Father, please, is there no other way? So many times in the Word we see that God responds to his children like a good father. So let's be careful in falling any kind of a theology or pattern. And don't buy into this nothing to do about this nonsense, because the Bible doesn't know it in that sense. There are a few things that will happen because God wanted it to happen. But I tell you, we all have a choice, and prayer changes everything. Let's go a little bit further. God is looking for people who make a difference. We see that also, like I said, God sometimes even decrees a punishment for something that happened, and he waited for somebody to come to intercede. Abraham did it, Moses did it, David did it, Daniel did it, Jesus did it. There was something to come, and they stood there and said, Father, I know, I understand the logic, but please forgive these people. I know they don't deserve it, but please, is there no other way? God is looking for these people. And honestly, I think every time it happens, God has like something like, look, this is one of mine. I love this heart's attitude. They understand that I'm a father, not a machine. And they dare to ask. And I'm telling you, if you come with this heart to God, he will never send you away. He will always he will not always give you what you want. Let's be honest, but he will always love that you dare to ask. He will always love that you come. The word says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. In other translations, we have more this idea. If we are fully committed to him, God loves to put everything in us that we need. He strengthens us. He backs us up. He is with us. With whom? With the people who dare to ask, the people who seek his face, the people who are committed to him. So if you have something in your family, if you have something in your life that is destructive, that is not as it should be, some kind of problem, whatever it is, I want to encourage you, I want to dare you, go and ask God to change that. Even if you grew up with it, even if you have this for 10, 20 or 30 years, you said, this will never change, I will die with this thing. I don't think so. It can change. Let 2018 be the year of your breakthrough. We will go a little bit deeper in this in a minute. But look at this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The question is, do we ask? Do we seek? Do we knock? Do you ask God for this thing? Do you seek God in this thing? Do you knock at his door? Are we okay with the city of Antwerp as it is right now? Are we okay with just 0.3% of Christians in this nation? Yes? Well, you don't have to pray. We're already there. We already have it. Let's make it a nice time. But if we ask, seek, and knock, that people will see Jesus and find him, and that change will come. God will give it to us, but we need to ask him. We need to come. We need to pray. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And again, it's this Father aspect of God. But what, Father, what if I ask something wrong, or I pray wrong, or this is not your will, and I mess something up? Is it then not better not to pray at all? No. Because your Father sees your heart. And even if you pray something that is wrong, he will always love it. And he will correct you. But he loves that you come. We see in the Word of God many times that the only person that is rebuked by God is the person who is not doing anything. The moment that you step out with a good motivation, God will always appreciate it. He will correct you. He doesn't expect it to be perfect. God is with the movers and the shakers, the people who stand up and do something. His strength backs them up. And let me give you a last take home. God's way is higher. I want to give you now a few information that you probably never heard before. Maybe you have, but I thought this is very interesting. You know, as a German, you might understand that 1998 was a very interesting year for us. Because this was the year when the German Democratic Republic and the Democratic Republic of Germany were united again. The wall fell in Berlin. The two nations became one again. After World War II, Germany got separated. There were the Russians and the Americans and all these, and everybody had his part. And so they decided, after all the atrocities of World War II, that they would split our nation in two. And this was established in 1949. 1989, 40 years later, this got reversed. This changed. And you might have seen all the pictures and movies on television of people running to each other, hugging each other, tears, and a huge, huge party going on in the whole nation. But what most people do not know started 1982, 7 years before that. This was the year when a small group of people started to pray in Leipzig in a small church called Nikolaikirche. They came together to pray for peace between East and West. They came together regularly to pray for that God would do something. And the leaders back then, they are humble enough to admit that the reunion of the nation was not really on their agenda. They couldn't think that big. They never thought it would grow out into that. They did not have faith for it. But they came together and they started to pray. And this group grew and they came together regularly until 1989, something happened. Starting with these prayer meetings, they had these huge demonstrations, Bedrohungen, this great people went out on the street. They said, first we go there to pray and then we go out on the streets to show the world that we do not agree with the situation in our nation, that Germany belongs together, we are the people, is one of these slogans. And this movement catched momentum. It catched momentum, but it started with a handful of people in a small church in Leipzig. And from this handful of people, it were hundreds and later thousands. Now to him who is able to do immeasurable more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. The people back then, they did not pray for the reunion, they prayed for peace. But God had something in mind that was so much bigger than they could imagine. And he used their prayer to start a movement. In the end, hundreds of thousands of people went on the street every Monday. It was the famous Monday demonstration in Germany. Every Monday they came out and they made clear that they do not agree with this. And in the 7 years, a lot of stuff went on politically behind the scenes, and there's great documentaries about that. This is all what happened on the outside. But on the inside, we need to understand that it started with prayer. It started with prayer. And this wave of people couldn't be stopped anymore until 1989, November 9, the order came to open the borders and Germany was reunited. That was powerful. That changed the course of history. And how did it start? With a few people praying, not being okay with the status quo. Not having an attitude of, well, there's nothing to do about it. Can you believe this? People were born with this wall, and they grew up with this wall. For 40 years, this wall was part of their life. They didn't know anything else. How in the world could they believe that God could change that? But he did. Now, where I come from, there's a little village, a very known village. It's called Mödlareuth. This is in my dialect, Mödlareuth. And this is just 50 or 60 people. And the border went straight through this little village. They called it Little Berlin because it symbolizes what happened in Berlin. And my father once took me there as I was a child. I was just too young to understand what's going on. But you have this a little village like you know it. And through this village, there's a border and you cannot cross over. And you know the people over there, you know their names, but you're not allowed to talk to them. You're not allowed to have contact with them. For 40 years. I still remember as our family went there, we still have them there. And we've been to Dresden as a young boy. And I remember, as I said, I was too young to understand what was going on, but I remember one of the things, memories that I have, that I walked into a supermarket and I was stunned before, for the first time in my life, I saw a supermarket with empty shelves. I opened a deep fryer, I opened a refrigerator, and that was empty in a supermarket. I have never seen that stuff. And my parents explained to me that it has to do with the government and that sometimes it's difficult there, but it didn't fit in my young brain right now. And then on the way home, they stopped us in the Diwane and they took apart our whole car because they thought we were smuggling stuff. And a family with three kids, you stand there in the cold for hours because they suspected something. It was difficult. And this was difficult for 40 years. And then overnight, almost overnight, this got changed. After 40 years, that was remarkable. The word of God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. History repeated itself in 1989 in Germany because people started to pray for the healing of their nation and God heard their prayer. Through many, many ways. Not all of these people you saw in the picture were Christians, just to be sure. But it all started in this little church in Leipzig where people came together praying for peace. I thought this is absolutely remarkable. I found this one. It says, on this place, October 7, 1989, the first huge demonstration started on the area of the former German Democratic Republic. It was the beginning that changed our world. That was world news. That will be forever in the history books. Now tell me, if God can do something like this after 40 years, where many people didn't believe that this will ever change, can he then not take out of your life an addiction? Can he not break something that you thought this will always be in your life like this? A problem in your family, at your workplace? Something that you already have given up on? Is this God not big enough to solve your problem as well? Yes, start to ask him. Dare to ask him. But I think it's God who did it back then. Well, maybe, but do it like Hezekiah. Father, I understand your word, but God, Is there no other way? Please, God, start talking to him. Start pleading. This is what can change the world. I found this stamp. It's an actual original stamp from this time to remember this moment in November 9, 1989. And you see that this is note symbolizes all the people. We the people was one of the slogans. And this symbolizes Nikolaikirche, this little church in Leipzig where it all started, to honor the people who were the first to believe and to start this movement. I wanna encourage you for 2018, because now honestly in my life outside circumstances tell me that it's gonna be a difficult year. But something inside of me tells me that it's gonna be a great year. And I wanna encourage you to believe God and to start asking him. And don't do it like a New Year's resolution. Don't make decisions like, okay, from now on I will pray 2 hours every day, because this is probably not gonna last. But I want to encourage you to think about it and have three to five things in your life, in your family, your workplace, your personal life, in this city, whatever bothers you, whatever is on your heart, 3 to 5 things. And for the next 21 days, put a list with those 3 to 5 things on your mirror, on your fridge, on wherever you see it, and pray for these things every day for 21 days. And after the 3 weeks, we're talking again. Let's believe God for something to change in your life, in this church, in this city. Let's believe that he can do immeasurable more than we can say, think, or imagine if we just dare to ask him. And as 1989, the impossible happened. The impossible was made possible. World news was written. History changed. Let's believe that 2018 will be a year where your history will be changed for the better, where breakthrough is coming, where things change for the good. All right?